This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Much of the debate over unemployment has focused on American companies that send jobs offshore to places like India and China. But there's another factor, one that's growing. If you've taken an airplane recently, you may have noticed a new option. Instead of standing on a long line to check in with a ticket agent, you can spend a couple of minutes getting an e-ticket from a machine. The same technology that replaced bank tellers with ATMs is displacing more and more supermarket cashiers as well. Automation started a long time ago on the assembly line. Now businesses in the service sector say that machines reduce lines, increase efficiency, and free workers to do more interesting tasks. Critics say they also reduce personal contact and take away jobs that may never come back. Later in the program, we'll find out why some companies that set up call centers overseas have decided to bring them back home. And we'll have your letters, but first, the automation of the service industry. If you've tried an airport kiosk or automated checkout, give us a call. Do these machines make life and lines a bit easier to deal with, or are they taking the personal side out of service? If you're a business owner who's employed these machines or somebody who's worked at a place where they do, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. The next battleground of the self-service revolution could be the fast food industry. Gary Moulton is a McDonald's franchise owner in Haines City, Florida, one of the first to use the self-ordering kiosks that are beginning to pop up at McDonald's around the country. The machine allows customers to order their food without standing online to talk with a clerk. Gary Moulton joins us now by phone from Winter Haven, Florida, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks, Neil. Good to be here.
Tell us, what does this machine look like and how does it work?
Well, we've got a couple of different iterations. One is kind of a tall, slender, not quite like me, machine that looks kind of like an ATM machine at a bank. It's totally graphical, so when you look at it, you're looking at both pictures and words, and it even talks to you in a friendly voice, so there are some benefits there. It's freestanding away from the counter, so you can step up to it, and that can be an option for ordering, or you can go to the counter and hopefully we'll have a friendly face there for you to order at that point.
Mm-hmm. And if you order from one of these machines, how do you pay for your food?
There are two ways to pay. One would be you can pay cashless with a credit or a debit card, and you just simply slide it in the machine, and it will process it for you, and then you step to the counter and get your food. You can also elect to pay by cash. If you do that, then when you step to the counter, you will actually hand your cash to a cashier.
How many McDonald's have these so far?
I'm sure there's around 75 in the country, probably somewhat under 1% of the stores in the country.
How are your customers reacting to them?
Our customers have just embraced it. We were delighted when we put them in our first two restaurants. They overwhelmed us with the numbers that used it, and we were delighted with that, so we put them in the rest of our stores.
And does it reduce pressure for the people if they prefer to go talk to an actual person? I assume those lines are shorter.
Yeah, we kind of look at that and say it is a bit of a line buster, which is nice for us. Someone has a rather large order and wants to order on the kiosk. If you just come in for a cup of coffee behind them, you can step right to the counter, or you can also place your order on the kiosk as well.
So do you think that people like it better than talking to a person?
Well, let's put it this way. It's a good option, and there are a great number of folks who like it better, and the reason we know that is they come back time and time again and use them. And then there are some folks that would prefer not to use them, and that's great with us, too. It's all about options and customer convenience.
What made you decide to try it?
We're always looking for a new and better way to serve our customers better. And when we saw the concept, we thought it certainly had application. We've seen them used in other places, and we thought it might work for us. And so we gave it a shot, and we were delighted with the results.
How has it affected your labor situation? Have you been able to let some of the clerks who man the counter go?
Well, no. Actually, the good news here is, and this was a learning that we had, when we put the machines in, we did not expect to see a labor savings because we expected, since we would have more order points, we would be able to put more sandwiches back quicker to the kitchen, and it would probably require a little additional labor to produce them faster. And what we found out, we began with some folks who were out there teaching our customers how to use this new equipment, and the customers loved that concept that they both had control of their order by placing it on the kiosk, but they also had somebody there helping them, talking to them, and being a bit of a hospitality representative. So it didn't take us too long to figure out that a good way to go would be to have that representative out there at least all during peak times to assist the customers that needed them.
So overall, do you have the same number of employees, more or less? What?
We actually have more. The good news is we have more employees, and our business has increased to the point that we had to add a few more in different spots, and perhaps some were moved into different locations just to accommodate the flow of customers.
One thing that happens a lot when new machines are introduced into a workplace is reliability problems. Do these crash often?
I'll probably jinx myself, but they have been unbelievably reliable. We have either two or three in every restaurant, and we've never been totally down. We have lost one or two from time to time, but only for a matter of a few minutes, and they seem to be able to service them, get them right back up into action.
How much do they cost, and how long do you figure it's going to take for them to pay themselves off?
Well, they are in the area of $10,000 each, and a typical restaurant, I think, based on our usage, is the payback is probably 18 months or maybe even a little bit less than that.
Is this the future of the fast food industry, do you think?
Well, I think it's a piece of, it's about options and other opportunities, and I think this may be a piece of it, a piece of the solution that certainly has worked for us, and now that we have them, we don't want to do anything different, but maybe look for another avenue that will also help.
Would you expect in 5 years' time, say, that more McDonald's would have these than not?
Oh, I would expect, I don't know if more will than not, but I would expect the momentum will build. I know McDonald's is doing a lot of research and trying to make sure that they have them located exactly where they should be, and they have the entire process figured out. And so I think it may be a little while longer before they really start to hit mainstream, but they're certainly coming.
Do you also notice any difference in how people order, difference between ordering from a person or ordering from a machine?
Yes, we notice the orders typically on the kiosk machines are larger. Now, part of that has to do with I would expect there are larger party sizes that use them, groups of two, three, or four.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and the kids are there, so the order might be a little bit larger. Also, it is a way to use a cashless transaction, so I think typically folks who will pay with a credit card spend a little more than people who pay with cash.
So you're not talking about the psychology of not feeling the guilt over ordering two Big Macs as opposed to one.
Well, I'd be willing to bet there's probably some of that goes on as well. I can't read the customer's mind, but I'm sure there's some of that as well.
Okay, well, thanks very much, and good luck, Gary.
Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it.
Gary Moulton is a McDonald's franchise owner in Haines City, Florida. He has stores with self-ordering kiosks, and he joined us from Winter Haven, Florida. He was featured in a story called The Productivity Paradox in the latest issue of Fast Company magazine. The author of that article is Charles Fishman, a senior writer for Fast Company magazine. He's now with us from the studios of member station WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Neil. Thank you.
So when you were researching your article, were you surprised that Gary not only didn't fire anybody, but actually hired more people?
I was in the context of the quick service, the fast food restaurants. But what's interesting is if you look at the history of automation, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen. The labor in our economy has a tendency to squirt around in unpredictable ways. The best example that I stumbled on is the world of banking. Back in the 1980s, when ATMs were brand new, there were 485,000 bank tellers. 20 years later, when many of us do almost all our banking at ATMs, there are actually 40,000 more bank tellers than there were before, 527,000 bank tellers. So despite the fact that the routine bank transactions have been automated, I don't know about you, Neil, but I personally almost never go in the bank. If I go in the bank, mm-hmm. there's a problem. There are more bank tellers than there ever were. That's because there are many more bank branches and because bank tellers now have both the time and the latitude to handle all kinds of things they didn't handle before, like mutual funds, life insurance, mortgages.
Is it normal, do you think, that this automation actually creates jobs? That seems to be your argument.
No, it's not my argument. I don't think it's normal. I think it's just unpredictable. I think Gary Moulton, as an example, runs very smart, well-run McDonald's. They're appealing. They're well-kept. He's always thinking about how to get the food to his customers more quickly. One of the things he said to me that you guys didn't get to is his lunchtime lines are down to almost nothing. And one of the important reasons you pick a fast food restaurant, and we all know this instinctively, is you sort of drive in and glance around and check the drive-through line and check the lines at the counter before you even get out of your car and see what it looks like. So part of the increase in his business simply comes from being able to serve customers more quickly and keep his lobby clear. And he's always thinking about how to do things like that. He's got a big increase in sales volume. He hasn't kept the kitchen staff stable. He's increased the number of people cooking at each of his stores to handle that. In theory, he could have left things as they were. He could have not hired the hospitality person and let people figure out the kiosks themselves. His labor costs are up, but his sales and his profits are up much more than his labor costs are up. In the airline industry, the self-service check-in kiosks are not sort of a novelty. They're handling 70% or more of the airline passengers who travel each day.
Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address, TOTN at NPR.org. And let's talk with Chris, who's on the line with us from Sacramento, California.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
It's interesting to hear what's going on in the fast food industry, at least with, in particular to McDonald's. But one thing that I've noticed of recent, and this has been in the past year or so, stores such as Home Depot, Walmart, they're starting to deploy self-checkout lines. And my instinctive thought at that was, oh, well, that means you're going to have less cashiers to be, you know, that you have to pay and work the till. And I was wondering if your expert on the line happens to know anything about what's going on with the case of, say, Walmart or the retailers, and whether they're seeing that indeed there's a job growth, or they're just not having to hire more cashiers, or if the jobs are just going elsewhere in the store.
Charles Fishman?
At this point, the self-check lines at the grocery stores, at Home Depot, at Walmart, aren't widespread enough so that they're having a huge impact on labor. What they're tending to do is skim off the people with small transactions who either used to get irritated. You know, you if you go to Walmart for one or two things, you're investing much more time standing in line to pay than you are shopping. Or in the case of a grocery store, you go in for a few things. You end up frustrated just because you're waiting for the checkout clerks. So they're skimming off people with a few transactions. If you've tried to check your own groceries at a grocery store, if you've got a cart full of groceries, a week's worth, what doing it yourself proves to you is how much skill is required to do it well. I never check a cart full of groceries at the grocery store. I like having the woman or the man handle that. They do it much more quickly, much more efficiently. If I have a half gallon of milk and a thing of bananas for tomorrow morning's breakfast, I'm much happier going through the self-serve line. The question is, what happens when we get accustomed to the technology and the clerks start disappearing and people start defaulting to the self-service lines? It's not clear, but I'll tell you this. If I have to stand in line somewhere a long time to then check myself out, I'm going to personally look for stores that aren't going to make me do that. So there's a little bit of a self-correcting mechanism here, which is that if you're willing to offer service, you're going to get people who want to be taken care of.
Briefly, Chris's question, do you have any idea as to whether the Walmarts
at this, are... At this moment, it's not having a dramatic impact on labor, just because the technology is so new in those places.
Okay, Chris.
In the airlines, it has taken labor down. There's no question.
Chris, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're going to be back with more after a break. We're talking about the automation of the service economy and how it changes the way we interact with business. Call us, 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the automation of service industry jobs. Places like McDonald's have ordering kiosks now, the e-ticket machines at airports, ATMs, of course. Our guest is Charles Fishman, the author of the product Productivity Paradox. That's an article in the latest issue of Fast Company magazine. How automated is your life? Join us. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send us an email, totn@npr.org. And let's go to Shane, who's on the line with us from Salt Lake City, Utah.
How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I apologize. I have a bad connection here, so I'll make it brief. I've actually found that I prefer the convenience so much more. I altered my shopping to stores that actually only have automatic checkout lanes. And I don't know if there seems to be a trend going to that, but I just feel more in control of what I'm doing. If there's an error in a price or, like, on produce, I can immediately, you know, bring it up to somebody, not have to drive home and realize that my ticket was wrong and go all the way back to the store. And I just kind of wonder if there's a trend of people who are doing this that are only going to stores because of this factor and the convenience factor.
And you miss not at all the interaction with another human being.
Well, you know, most places they have, you know, they have a main kiosk where they are, you know, they're overseeing all this. And if there's a problem or a question, they can solve it. But it just, you know, you don't stand in line as long and, you know, you're able to check out your own groceries at your own pace and make sure things ring up the right way. And I kind of think the whole experience is better, that the employees don't feel so bogged down because they're not worried about hurrying so much. And it, to me, at least in Salt Lake, it's really huge. And I just kind of wonder if it's the same way, if there's a trend for people looking for stores that actually have these machines.
Charles Fishman?
Neil, can we ask how old Shane is?
I'm 27.
Okay, that's about what I would have guessed. The interesting thing about these machines is, I don't know if there's any data of a trend looking for people who prefer these machines. But if you look at the airline industry, where these machines have swept the domestic check-in business, literally up from nothing in 2000 to 70% or more of passengers checking themselves in, the reason is because people feel like the experience of checking in at airports with the self-service machines improves the experience. If you've used the machines at the airports, you can actually see a picture of the plane, see where your seat is, see what other seats are available, pick a seat you'd rather have or leave it the way it is, see if there are alternative flights leaving sooner or later that you'd prefer. And you can do all of that literally in the space of 30 seconds.
And use all that time you save to wait online for security screening.
Yeah.
For security screening, if not to buy a magazine. What Shane is talking about is an experience in which he feels like he's in control. Shane and I are on opposite sides of the generational divide. At the airport, I really do feel like I'm in control. I feel like I've gotten something better by checking myself in. It's quicker, and I know something that I didn't know in terms of information. At the grocery store, I personally disagree with Shane. I feel like the people at the checkout line can do it much more quickly than I can, and I actually have the latitude to watch and see what the price is. Mm-hmm. But that, in some ways, Shane has grown up with all this technology, and he's totally comfortable with it, and he'd rather do it himself.
And since I'm not really pressed for time in my life, I think maybe that goes kind of hand in hand, that it's my pace, my time, my experience at the grocery store, you know. So I think it's definitely a good trend, and I'd like to see it continue, that's for sure.
Well, thanks very much for the call, Shane.
Hey, no worries. Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. Here's an email question from Mary Jo Maroney in St. Louis. I do not use automated checkouts at the grocery store for one simple reason. Why should I do all the work, yet not reap the benefits in the form of cheaper grocery prices? The grocery store owners will not have an employee or benefits to pay, but they will not pass their savings on to customers.
Well, that's exactly right. The part of the productivity paradox is it looks like the productivity of the employees is going up. One person at a grocery store or a home fix-it store supervises four of these lines. But that person isn't doing the work. We're doing the work. The customers are doing the work. So that's a wonderful point, which is that what the companies, the gas station business is a perfect example. They've outsourced all the gas pumping to the customers, and we are uncompensated.
Some businesses may be able to save workers by placing them in other jobs once they automate. That appears beneficial on the surface. But Greg Denier says that often means the jobs that have been filled are ones that will not be available for new workers. Greg Denier is director of communications for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and he's with us from his office here in Washington, D.C. Thanks very much for joining us.
I'm happy to join you. And I was interested in the conversation and how customers were responding with different experiences based on whether it's an airport, a bank, or a supermarket. And I think it goes to the heart of the matter, is that in society today, what you have is a diminution of service without any corresponding drop in prices. You have the elimination of jobs, which drives up income on one hand, but you're not compensating consumers by lower prices on the other hand. So it's just a shift away from workers to corporate profits. Now, in some cases, customers feel positive about the experiences, as they were talking about in terms of airports. Generally, in supermarkets, it's a negative experience. The reason customers are going to self-scan is because the stores are understaffed, and the company is, in fact, creating a queue for the cashier and therefore driving customers into the self-scan. Our concern is twofold. One, we represent workers in the traditional supermarket industry. Part of what that industry offers is a high level of service, that you're not doing the work yourself. And customers come to a full-service supermarket because they get that service. That's what keeps those jobs in that industry alive, is that commitment on the part of customers to going to a traditional supermarket. If you take away the service, if you force customers to do their own work in the name of convenience, when you've created the inconvenience in the first place, that there's no competitive advantage for the supermarket over a big box store or a Walmart. Therefore, it's a very short-sighted strategy to cut labor costs on the part of management. What we'd like to see is in a full-service supermarket that the service stays there, that they're adequately staffed, and customers don't do the work themselves. I mean, we joke with the companies that in the name of customer convenience, what's next? You're going to have them unload the trucks on the docks and say, oh, gee, you can take care of it yourself, and then you can stock the shelves, and then you can put it in the basket, and then you can check yourself out and load your own car. It's really not about customer convenience from the company standpoint. It really is about eliminating jobs, lowering their costs, and increasing their profits. And again, we think from our perspective that it's short-sighted and it will eventually diminish the customer base for full-service supermarkets.
Have you lost jobs to these new machines?
Well, again, under our union contracts, individual workers are protected and are reassigned. But what we have seen is that there is a clear downward trend in the number of staff hours in a supermarket. So there are fewer and fewer jobs available for new employees, and there are fewer and fewer full-time jobs available for new employees. And within a supermarket, the cashier jobs are some of the highest paid jobs there are. So that has other ramifications, particularly for women workers, because supermarket cashier jobs, which have historically been predominantly women, those were one of the few jobs that paid a living wage and came with health benefits. Those are the jobs that are targeted for elimination, where some of the more general jobs, general clerk jobs in a store, which come at a lower pay rate, are the ones that are being preserved, where the high-end jobs are the ones that are being eliminated.
So do you anticipate more and more problems next time contracts come up?
Well, it is not a matter of contract problems. The United Food and Commercial Workers does not stand in the way of technology. We try to manage the technology to serve, the customer interest, the worker interest, and the community interest as a whole. So it has not been a contentious issue in negotiations because we have been able to work with the companies to accommodate the current workforce. It's where are we headed in the future? And like I said, what I see is conversations with the companies saying, if you're concerned about big box stores or Walmart and Walmartization, you know, you really have got to think of a strategy that provides service to the customers. That is the value added in a full-service supermarket, and that's where we would be headed with the companies.
Greg Denier, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Greg Denier, Director of Communications for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and he spoke with us from his office in Washington, D.C. And Charles Fishman, he has a point about the high-end jobs going down and the low-end jobs are the ones that are saved.
He has a point in some areas. Let me say two things. First, his view of inflation and the statistical view of inflation are completely different. Airline tickets, as an example, cost much less than they cost 20 years ago. And there are no profits for the major airlines in this country. The big four, big five are either in bankruptcy or losing billions of dollars a year. So this isn't going to the bottom line there. The grocery stores, the same is true of food. Food is not significantly more expensive year over year. And in many places, it's cheaper. Many arenas, it's cheaper and better. The big box stores are putting the major grocery store chains in a difficult position. And the question is, can they provide the service that will woo in customers? Ultimately, the question is, ultimately, the point is that customers will vote with their dollars. If they don't like the experience buying groceries at Walmart, but the prices are so persuasive, then Walmart will win. If the big grocery chains like Kroger and Safeway and Albertsons and Publix can provide a reasonable service experience such that people don't mind paying a few pennies more because there's somebody there to answer a question or to take care of them, then those stores will win. As I said, I don't want to check out a full week's worth of groceries myself. It takes way too long. Mm-hmm. So I think
that would be the same situation for stores that might not be able to afford any of this expensive automation.
That's absolutely true. And the interesting thing is, Mr. Denier notwithstanding, the most competitive grocery store company in America right now is a company called Whole Foods, which specializes in organic and natural foods. Their profits are double the majors. They are competing more than effectively with Walmart, and what they offer besides the quality of the food is they are tremendously well-staffed with people who know food. So, in fact, there's an example of a company out there that's willing to pay a little more and staff a little better, and people want that kind of service.
Let's go to Dan, who's on the line with us from Panama City, Florida.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a paraplegic, and I wondered how these machines interface with a handicapped driver who doesn't want to leave his car.
At the fast food stores, Dan, the machines are not in the drive-through aisle. They're only inside the store. So the drive-throughs work exactly as they always have. And I think, in general, federal laws protect customers who might not be able to take care of themselves. As in gas stations, you can just call for help from the counter if you need somebody to help you pump your gas. So it's obviously not as good a situation as when there were people standing everywhere waiting to take care of you when you pulled into a gas station. But at this moment, that particular thing's not an issue, I don't think.
Dan, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Jane, and Jane's on the line from Minneapolis.
Good afternoon, Neil. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Say, I have a question I haven't heard addressed yet. Airlines and companies selling services, they have control over the delivery of their products. In other words, when you buy an airline ticket and you go through the electronic processing, you're not going to get on the airplane without the boarding pass. And when you go to McDonald's, you won't walk out of the store with your bag of product unless you pay for it. I have been to some of these convenient checkouts in grocery stores here in the Minneapolis area. They're wonderful. I love them. However, I'm curious, how does the store control theft and shoplifting? And the retailers, such as Home Depot or grocery stores, have they had to incur higher insurance rates?
The quick answer is I don't know about whether they're seeing increases in theft as a result of this. At most of these stores, the self-service lines are actually staffed. There's a person watching. And so it's no easier to walk out without paying in a grocery store or a Home Depot than it would be with the staffed self-service lines. You could sneak around and walk out with your bananas, but it's not all that easy. And we're about to see the dawn of this new radio frequency ID technology where anything worth more than a few dollars is going to be tagged. And if you try and walk out of the store with it, the great machine in the doorway will know that you're trying to do that.
Good. Thank you very much.
Interesting question, Jane. Thank you.
Bye now.
We're talking about the automation of the service industry. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Malcolm. And Malcolm's on the line from Tuckerton, New Jersey.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Malcolm.
Hi, Neil. Thank you very much for taking my call. I've been fascinated with your program on more than one occasion.
Thank you.
My observation is that I have made custom orthopedic implants for several years. I'm in my own business. I've been using numerically controlled machine tools since 1974, and I've had my own business since 96. I was in California, and the point that I'd like to bring up is that workers' compensation insurance is a bear. You know, that I have two robots, okay, and mm-hmm. you don't have to pay for them. I was charged $6,000 a year plus terrorism surcharge for one employee who basically used a pencil and a computer. So I do believe that manufacturing, people are asking, you know, what's with all the manufacturing jobs? It's 9% of our economy now, which our whole economy revolves around things. So we can get people to do things. We can get some poor schlub in Indonesia to carve out a box for a dollar a day. And
but you're saying in your high-tech manufacturing area, you're saving a lot of money for among other reasons, you don't have to pay workmen's compensation.
It's workers' compensation, which is essentially driven by predatory lawsuits.
Okay. Good point, Malcolm. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Neil, can I make another point?
Sure.
There's no question that automation often simply takes away jobs. One of the sort of most startling examples I stumbled on, which is obvious to all of us when you think about it, is elevators. The first elevator was installed in a New York City department store in 1857 by Elisha Otis. It took the Otis Company 97 years to come up with the technology to allow you to run the elevator yourself, self-service technology. In 1955, as the self-service technology really became widespread and effective, there were 500,000 elevator operators in America. All those people lost their jobs in the course of the next 10 years, or virtually all of them. And I'm sure many people had great experiences with those folks. They were gracious. They were part of the culture of the buildings that they worked in. I don't think any of us would look back now and say, we wish we had somebody in an elevator to push the button for us. The most important thing is that the economy has to grow enough so that even as we're making some areas more efficient, we're creating jobs for the equivalent, the 2004 equivalent of the elevator operators. I don't wish that all the ticket agents at all the airlines would simply lose their jobs. We need the economy to grow well enough to pick up those people either somewhere else in the airline business or somewhere else. And in the meantime, we may need some set of programs to bridge them. The economy is evolving much more quickly than it used to. And these labor displacements seem to happen much more quickly. Those are important macroeconomic trends, and we can agree that that's good in the long run. But all of us live in the short run. We live in the microeconomic world. And so we need to imagine how we're going to move people from one kind of labor to the next.
Charles Fishman, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil.
Charles Fishman, a senior writer for Fast Company magazine, the author of the article Productivity Paradox in the latest issue of Fast Company. He was with us from the studios of WUNC. More after a break. This is NPR News.